circumstances. And he is in control. Ecclesiastes says, to the living, there's hope. And no matter your circumstances, if they're taking a breath, as dark as it may seem, there's a chance. That's why we open the church doors again, and that's why we preach it again, and that's why we say it again. And that's why we pray again. Appreciate that song here this morning. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. We are going through the summer. I felt like if I could just make it through the summer, it would slow down. Then we got to September and school started. I'm like, okay, once school gets going, we'll slow down. And here we are at Thanksgiving, and I think, okay, after the first of the year, it's going to slow down. I said that 10 years ago, and here we are. Looked at the back of the bulletin this morning, and I just saw all the things that are going on. Even some of the things that we do have going on, too, in addition to, you know, the Tuesday night going to charity. And man, I talked to some guys in the ministry that are somewhat discouraged because the church is going backwards. It's things that they used to do. Those are their conversations. Hey, I want to be spent for the Lord. When my day is done, I want to have given everything I could to God. And then I'm okay being busy for Him, if that's what He told me to do. And a lot of different things we could spend our time on. The work of the Lord, I do believe, is a worthwhile cause. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he is Christ, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that sweet song, just to remind us of, Lord, even though we wish that we would continue to pray and that we would put these things in your hands. And Lord, as so many here today are just going through some things, that we can trust you and know that you're in control of it all. Lord, I pray that this message would be a help and a blessing. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're aware, Christ, Jerusalem would be probably his chosen city to work in. I mean, certainly some good reception there. Had read of great miracles that happened in the city of Jerusalem. But to get there, he had to go through Samaria. And Samaria, as we know, as we've heard preached so many times, Samaria was not a well-received area. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, and I think even stronger, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They were what they would call a mixed breed. They were half Gentile, half Jew, and just not clean. They didn't like them. They didn't like being around them. They didn't like that they were in the midst of their nation, and they looked down on them a lot. But in traveling, it's a lot faster to go straight than go around. So Jesus was good with it, so he went through Samaria. In many of our stories do we find Christ interacting or making mention of the Samaritans. In Luke chapter 17, no different. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So please understand where he is. We have an outcast group of people. We have a group of people that no one liked. The disciples didn't like going through there. There was always confrontation. There was problems. Those people in their mind were lesser. And there was going to be a conflict. We'll read 12 through 19. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And then they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show thyself unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found. They returned to give glory to God. Save the stranger. He said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And now we move on to the next story. We read that story and go, whew, that's neat. Here's Jesus passing through a forsaken land, if you will, a land that they didn't even want to be in to begin with. And then within the forsaken land, we find 10 of the most outcast people out of the land. This is the worst of the worst. Why? Because they have a disease. A disease that is incredibly contagious and deadly. If you want a treat, go home and fire up the computer and Google images leprosy. Don't do it at dinner time. It ain't pretty. Parts of their body just fall off. It's a very disfiguring, a very marring, a very painful. And then the loneliness of it all. Because you can't be with your family. You're unclean. So there he is. Jesus walking through. There's 10 lepers. And they have colonies of lepers. Dom, you've done a lot of traveling. Have you ever gone to a leper colony or seen it? They're still around. There's a count. It's like parts of a town are quarantined off, or maybe a whole town or a whole area outside of the town. Why? Because that's where they live. They all have leprosy. They're all contagious. But if I have leprosy and you have leprosy, well, we can be around each other. Well, eventually you're going to die again. Well, this is what happened. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. There they were. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us, Master. And Jesus doesn't even touch them. He just, with his word, saying, go see the priest. Because that was the law. That was the process by which it went. If you read the book of Leviticus, there's two or three chapters strung together that talk about the sin of leprosy. Again, don't read it any near time of eating. It's not pretty. And that was the law. So they go and they go see the priest. I don't know when it happened. Again, I try and imagine this. When they walked through the door, all of a sudden, was there a finger there that wasn't? Is there a nose there that wasn't just a moment ago? Maybe someone that's being carried on a crutch whose leg or foot had fallen off, had rotted off. All of a sudden, they walk through, they're standing in front of the priest, and all of a sudden, they're made whole. I don't know how it all worked. I hope he recorded it. I'd love to see it. And he heals them. I don't know how. If we read the passage and kind of follow it along, we can kind of get a mental picture of it. So here, Christ is coming through the town. There's 10 lepers that are far off, right? But enough to make vocal noise that they can communicate with Christ. So Christ then responds verbally and says, go see the priest. Obviously, the priest is pretty close by. That they go, they see the priest. And when they had healed, they turned back. And when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Was able to see Christ still from wherever the priest was. And glorified God. Maybe he shouts out, "Praise God, I'm healed," whatever it is. And then he runs to Christ and falls down at his feet. How many, Emily, were there? 10, perfect. That kind of helped. How many came back and said, "Thank you"? One. You were close. It was the other. Out of 10 people that were healed, how many were healed? 10. How many mentioned thank you? One. Leprosy is a type of our sin. I wonder if the same ratio applies today. I wonder if the same ratio of those that are thankful for being healed to those that are not. The Bible warns us against a thankless generation. We have a lot of reasons to be thankful today. I'm thankful for my salvation. If you have a pen, write this down. Number one, reasons to be thankful for your salvation. Number one, I had absolutely nothing to do with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Ever learn information and you share that information with somebody else, or it just like makes sense all of a sudden and you share it with someone else and like, "Yeah, I knew that." It's like, "Oh, well, why have we known each other this long and you haven't told me?" Like Martians are from Mars, right? Maybe there was a day it's like, "Oh, I didn't know that." Salvation is a gift, not a reward. I read that this past week and I was just like, wow, yeah. That's what this is. Had nothing to do with me. It was a gift. Salvation was a gift. What did these 10 lepers do? Absolutely nothing. They walked from where they were to the priest. The healing had nothing to do with them. So does our salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable... What's that next word? Gift. It's not a reward. It's not... In our Sunday school class, Seth did an excellent job talking, comparing work salvation versus grace salvation or faith salvation. Hey, it's I don't have to worry about, have I done enough? It's not a reward based on my behavior. It's a gift based on His grace. It's an unspeakable gift that I had absolutely nothing to do with. Where's Isaac? Isaac's 14 today, is that correct? Had absolutely nothing to do with that. He just showed up. And we're going to give him gifts for it. Great job, man. You lived 14 years here. And that's how I feel like with salvation. I didn't do anything. I just showed up. I just showed up with my mess and my sin and my leprosy and my problems and my loneliness and my outcastness and all of that. I just showed up. And God said, "Forgiven." I had nothing to do with it. My mom was searching for the Lord all of her life. She just didn't know where to go. If she was alive, she'd probably get in big trouble for what she did. But she would leave my sister and I in the middle of the night and she would go up to the local church just to pray because it was open 24 hours. She told us this years later. Little kids in the house, alone, middle of the night, 12 o'clock, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And she would go and she would just cry at the altar because she had no idea what she was doing. She knew she needed the Lord, but she didn't know how to get it. And she wandered, and she was sick. Oh man, she had this thing called Cushing's disease, and it was affected her pituitary gland. They had to take it out, and just on medicine, and that's kind of where we grew up. And one day, if he was sitting here, I'd say it again. But our crazy neighbor came over and invited us to church. And that was the thing that she'd been looking for all her life. My mom was a mess. Some of you knew her after she got saved, where she sweetened up a little bit, but man, Her life she'd been searching. She's just like the lepers. Just sitting there, and then one day Jesus walked by and she just shouted out, "Have mercy on me." She had nothing to do with it. Glad I got in. Glad I got in. Salvation. I'm thankful for salvation because it had nothing to do with me. Point number two. It did what I couldn't do. It removed my sin. Romans chapter 5. I love Thanksgiving. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's the food or the family, or, but I sure do love getting together and just thinking about what to be thankful for. Salvation's top of the list. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Verse 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." My sins are gone. He did something I could never have done. He removed my sin. And in place, he gave me something. See, sin brings sorrow and hurt and guilt and trouble and problems. And he took that all away. And you see that word there in verse 11 that he gave us? Joy. He exchanged our sin for joy. He did what I couldn't do. Took away my sin. Galatians chapter 2. To do something that was impossible for you. He did it. Took care of it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not only by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That's what I was trying. Even at 10, I was hoping that my good things outweighed my bad things. That was my plan at 10, 9, 8. Be good enough to get to heaven. And God says, "Can't do it. Your works aren't enough." And he justified us by faith. He took away our sins. He did what I couldn't. Thirdly, he gave me what I could never get in myself. What's that? Eternal life. John chapter 14 tells us that he has a promise for us. A home in heaven. A mansion waiting for us. He gave me what I could never have. Eternal life. But not only that, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. He also gave me freedom. Romans 8, 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I am no longer bound to my sin." I've been set free from the consequences of my sin. I have reason to be thankful. I have reason to be thankful not just the fourth Thursday of every November, but I have reason to be thankful of every moment of every day. Why? Because I've been saved. I've been saved, and I had nothing to do with it. And God did what I couldn't do. And he gave me what I could never get. But there's a great danger if we fail to be thankful for our salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says this, because that when they knew God, listen, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolishness, and their foolish heart was darkened. Could you imagine being unthankful for such a gift? It was so sweet. We helped Mrs. Wilson move yesterday, and she got us pizza and donuts. Man, she's thanking us, giving us hugs. She's so appreciative. It's nice doing, you know, you do something and they just appreciate it. Thankful. And that was just helping move. It was all boxed up. It was an easy move. Probably one of the easiest moves I've ever done. And there was a lot of people, which made it, you know, Rice, carry the heavy stuff. I'll carry the... Yeah, found her keys. She lost her keys. They were in 5 years, been looking for these keys. We found them. They were in the recliner. Yeah. Fell out of her pocket. We took the recliner apart and all of a sudden, blink, she's like, my keys! So appreciative. And it's nice doing things for people. Could you imagine paying for someone's sin? Doing something that they could never do in themselves. Giving them something that they could never get themselves. That is perfectly an unspeakable gift. It's so good. And never, not once hearing thank you. God said, that'd be a problem. He says it in Romans chapter 1. That'd be a problem. So we certainly have reasons to be thankful. Number one, our gift of salvation. And if it just stopped there, if that's all we had, we'd be pretty well off, don't you think, Brother Sutliff? If that's all I had, if I even had a miserable, awful life here, with the promise of eternal life, good, settled. Because this is but a moment. I wish I could snap. Rice, can you snap for me? That's what I'm saying. If our life was but that, man, in the grand scheme of eternity, but he's done more, hasn't he? In Psalm 107, go there. Our first point was the longest of points. The next five, as all the air leaves the room, will go very quickly. Because they just have one thought. But I do certainly have... We all have reasons to be thankful. Number one, our salvation. Number one. Number two, how about this? Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for God's goodness. James chapter 1 tells us that everything He does is good. I think it's 1:17. Every good gift. God can't help but do good. How many of you would say, I've experienced the goodness of God in my life? Sure. Hey. No, there was a time when God did me bad. Anybody? No. God doesn't do us wrong. God's good to us. If we just stopped and thought about that for a minute, not just salvation, but the blessings that He bestows on our life each and every day. In our class, in our Sunday school class, we were taking testimonies a little bit. And just about a week, and one of our young adults had scheduled a difficult day coming up. And they were getting nervous about it. It was getting closer and closer, and God just gave them the grace to get through it. What was that? That was the goodness of God. Experience that. That at the by the end of this week, I can thank God for His goodness. He showed it to me again. God's goodness. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Reasons to be thankful. Number one, salvation. Number two, God's goodness. Number three, God's word. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. You do understand, last Sunday night, where we preached on the world, the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Was that last Sunday night? We're surrounded by our enemies. But God has given us a light and a guide to get through that. God has given us the ability to, even though we are surrounded by our enemies, yet be wise in those situations. To know how to go. To lead us and guide us. How does He do that? Through the Word of God. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for His goodness. But I'm thankful for His Word.
Yes, sir.
We have some people coming over to the house this next week again. And we have six more people living at our house for about 5 days. In addition to our seven. One bathroom. But we have a hose, so that's good. We can just hose them off. So it should be fine. It should be fine. Don't worry about it. So we're getting things ready, and we're moving things around, and we're in the basement, and found this box of stuff, and my stuff, and my old high school yearbook. Ooh, that was a kid then. And found all these nice cards that my grandparents and, birthday cards and nice cards that people had sent me over the years. I looked at a couple of them, and I just didn't have time to go through them all, but man, it certainly was nice to see nice things that people had written. It sure is nice to read something nice that someone wrote for me. It's like, he's like, Nick, I have this letter I want to give you. It's going to take you some time to read it, but I wrote it for you. It's about you, and it's about me. It's about us, and it's about where I want you to go, and it's going to help you every single day of your life. Here. I feel like that's how the Bible is. It's a gift. And so many times I don't treat it as that. So many times I treat it as a chore or a weight instead of the gift that it is. It's the guide for my life, and He wrote it for me. You say, well, can I read it too? Yeah, He wrote it for you too. Each of us. This week He has something in there for you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to talk with you. Thankful for this? You know, there's people throughout the world that don't have what we have. There's people in our past that have given their life for the thing we have laid across our laps. Are we thankful for the Word of God? Hey, the things that we're thankful for, we take extra care of. Right? Our little people aren't so thankful for all of their clothes. I know this. So how do you know? Because they throw it all over their house. But if they had to buy it themselves, if they had to purchase that and they had to wash it and fold it and clean it and keep track of it all, well, maybe they'd take a little better care of it. They would be a little more thankful. I had nothing to do with the orchestrating of the Word of God. Sometimes I treat it like it's just dirty clothes, just tossing it around. I want to be thankful for it like I should. Reasons to be thankful. Number one, our salvation. Number two, the goodness of God. Number three, His Word. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 11. Matthew 6, 11. Give us this day our daily bread. You didn't know this, but while I was preaching, I've scanned the crowd. I was looking at each and every one to be able to make the statement with confidence. none of you are hurting for a meal. God has been faithful to supply your food needs. Some even in excess. Have we thanked Him for our daily provisions? Have you thanked Him? Not just the prayer at the table, but truly we're grateful for what you have. Some of the kids are like, I'm not thankful for spinach. I'm not thankful for some of the, man, you don't know. We've taken trips before and we've been out of town and it's just a lot easier. You don't get a lot of home-cooked meals on missions trips or on short-term trips like that. So you do a lot of eating out. When I get home, Noda, I just want some rice and chicken and vegetables. Just real meal. I don't want to order at a counter. I don't want to tell people that I want sauce with it. I just want real food. And we can get that each and every day. But not just our food. Look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the very first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can say in my life, I've never had to want for the necessities of life. And I dare say, again, this might be out of line or whatever, but if in where we live, you're wanting, it's by your own hand. It's because you squandered some opportunity. If that's where you're at, I'd be more than happy to help you get on track. But the Lord does not lead us to want. He meets our needs. God's provisions. Salvation, God's goodness, God's word, and His daily provisions. Things that we've come so accustomed to. That we almost have become unthankful for them. Psalm chapter 3. It's always said you don't realize what you have until it's gone. You don't realize what a benefit your left arm is until you can't use it. Huh, Dom? It's my left hand. I'm dominant right hand. Imagine if you didn't have the Word of God. I think we'd come to appreciate it. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 4, it says this, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 3 now. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him. I'm thankful that God hears. That I can cry out to Him, kind of like that song was this morning. There I am, discouraged in my heart, and I just cry out to God, and God hears me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to handle a situation. And I just cry out to God and He hears me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that He administers His comfort. I'm thankful that He administers His guidance when asked. I'm thankful He gives His power and His strength and His grace when needed. Because there's days when I just cry out to God and He heard me. I'm thankful for that. Lastly, Psalm 127. In the book of Luke, there were 10 lepers healed. And strangely enough, only one returns. to say thank you. I don't know how that's measured. I don't wish that on anybody, but how about instead of we counting out 10 people here, we count out 10 churches? And we're the one that came back and said thank you. I don't want to be like, okay, you say thank you and you nine don't. No. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful here. Say, well, I don't care about any other place. I mean, that's not true, but you know what I'm saying. We're responsible for our group here. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful for what it is that God has done in our life. Let's here be thankful for His salvation. Let's here be thankful for His goodness. Let's here be thankful for His word, His provisions, that He hears us. And then lastly, Psalm 107. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early. You hear that? And also to sit up late. To eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Look at verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Lastly, this morning, thankful for my family. See, my kids drive me crazy. My sister's out. Whatever, you got somebody in your life, an uncle or an aunt or somebody. Maybe it's a kid that's just causing you heartache. But you got a kid that's giving you heartache. You got somebody. The Bible says that there's a blessing about that. They're all over the country. When was the last time you thanked God for your family? I heard it asked one time, imagine tomorrow you wake up and the only things that you have in your life are the things that you thank God for the day before. What would you have? Would you have the Word of God? Would you be saved? Would the house be filled with the pitter of feet? Would there be food in the cupboards? Would the prayers be answered? Not just the fourth Thursday of November, but we as a people, as Christians, have many reasons to be thankful. I'm saved not because I had anything to do with it, because it was an unspeakable gift. Let's all stand. In a moment, the music's going to play. We'll have an invitation. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord. There were 10 that were healed and only one came back. Would you be that one? Would you be the one that comes up and says, thank you, Lord, for saving me? Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you just provide and meet all of our needs, that I have absolutely not any needs, but no wants even. That you hear me. That you give me a family. We have much to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I pray that God, we would approach you with a thankful and appreciative spirit. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message this morning? Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ. When we were talking about the gift of salvation, you're like, you described me, but I'm trying to work my way. That's not how it goes. Thankful for mom and dad. You might think that they don't get you. They don't understand you. Oh, they understand a lot more than you give them credit for. Thank God for your children. If you thank God for your church family. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Prove it. Prove it. Not to me, but to the Lord.